Praise the Lord. Happy to be out tonight. Amen. We ought to. Let's all stand. Let's go. Bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, another wonderful privilege, Lord, together tonight. Lord, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we have such a praise in our hearts, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Lord, we're glad to come and hear what you have for us this night. Lord, just bless us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and your word this evening, Lord. And just pray that everything is said and done for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. At this little course on page 28, your only believe. Fill my way with love. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land of love, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with my heavenly God, let me go all the while with a song. Amen. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon the smile. Amen. Let others see what you have. Jesus deep in there. Amen. Leading and guiding every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 25 in our capstone life books here. Amen. Just over in the glory land. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory. Just over in the glory land, there to. Amen. So many promises, and He will keep them. Amen. Page 174 in our Only Believe. Amen. When the saints come marching in. Amen. I plan on being one of them. Amen. Are you? I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints,
hallelujah.
I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Sure. Amen. Brother Amos, did you take up the offering this evening? On our way out of this old world, saints. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, such a joy in our hearts, Lord. We are so thankful for all you've done for us, Lord. Yes. All your many blessings in our lives. We are so grateful, Lord. We thank you for the health and strength you've given us this evening. Lord, together once more around your word. Lord, we pray as your word comes forth, let our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have for us this night, Lord. Lord, as we, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Lord, let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Amen. Give all the glory to give him all the glory and the honor.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart? Is up raising their hand? We just want to remember. Brother Gensel asked me to remember Sister Abby. Little Abby in prayer. She's going to have surgery this Thursday for removal of her tonsils, I guess. So just ask the Lord to keep his hand on her. Be with her. Lead and guide. Amen. As you've done so many times. Amen. Just bless the little child. Let's just bow by our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, as the human race, Lord, that has needs. Lord, you know each and every hand that was raised this night, Lord. Lord, you know the desire behind each hand. Lord, we ask you to come down tonight, Lord, in such a mighty way, Lord, to meet these needs. Lord, as people roaming this earth, Lord, it just things could rise, things happen in life, and Lord, things that's needed. And Lord, this little Abby we bring before you this night, Lord. Lord, as she has surgery this week, Lord, we ask you to keep her hand on her. Lord, guide that surgeon's hand, Lord. Let everything come out just the way you want it, Lord. Lord, just bless her little life and bless everything, Lord, that's going on with her right now. Lord, just keep your hand upon her life. Lord, as each and every one of us, Lord, we ask you to bless us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, your hand that guides each and every day, Lord. Lord, we need that more than anything in our life. Lord, the spiritual hand that guides and leads. But Lord, we also have physical needs, Lord. And you know each one. We ask you to meet them tonight in your, Lord, your most powerful name. Lord, we ask and pray these things, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone have a song upon their heart? Anyone at all? Naomi? 619, you only believe. Amen. We ought to have such a praise on our heart for what he's done for us. A new song. Amen. Amen. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. Lord, I just couldn't walk this world alone. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm thirsty, he is my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. He's always there to listen with arms all about me. He rocks me in his bosom. What would I do without Jesus? He's the shepherd of my valley. Couldn't make it without Jesus. When my tears fall like a river, and my burdens are high as a mountain, when the ones I have never led me there, oh, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one I could depend on. I couldn't make it without Jesus, what would I do? When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen with arms all about me. He rocks me in his bosom. What would I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? Amen. Is that true? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. Can't you feel him? You know you're talking to someone. Amen. You can feel that relationship. Amen. With arms all about me. He rocks me in his bosom. What would I do without him? Hallelujah. He's the shepherd of my valley. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? Amen. That's so true. Thank the Lord for keeping his hand, guiding, leading. Amen. So many times would have slipped and fell if he wouldn't have been there to catch me. Turn my direction. Say, no, son, you got to go this way. I got a different path for you. So thankful. Amen. I'm sure each and every one of you can see it in your life. Let's all stand. We ask our pastor to come and lay what the Lord's laid on his heart. Sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus.
Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by day. And if I precious Lord, truly the footprints of Jesus, where would we be without those footprints? And Lord, as we think of the little poem that was wrote, and Lord, where he talked about there was only one set of footsteps, one set of prints, Lord, when it was right at the time when it seemed like you should have been there. And then Lord, as the poet wrote, oh, that's when you was carrying me. And Lord, how many times down through life you've carried us. And we greatly appreciate it, Lord. We realize this journey of life that we go through, it'd be impossible to make it without you. So we appreciate you being with us and even in us, Lord. And we've asked again tonight, now that you'd speak to our hearts through the word, make it something in it, Lord, more real to us. Father, we could yield to you, and again, Lord, that the fog could be cleared away, that we could see what you want and see which turn to make and where to stop and where to go. We ask now that you would have your preeminence, as we just want to surrender to you, Lord, and help us now, we pray. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. We'll stick this back up here tonight. Amen. Don't get used to that, Brother Timothy. All right. So we find here, again, we want to go right back into this and just reminisce a little bit. First in talk about a couple things before we go on. But first, we want to talk again, just to mention a few things about the little woman at the well. We read a little scripture this morning on it in John 4 chapter. And realizing, you know, a lot of people wouldn't think of it that way, but she was a very special little woman. You know, even though her life in the beginning was all messed up, and, you know, she was, when she got started in her journey in this life, it was pretty messy. But we realized that she was still a very special, special person. And I believe if you can find your place in Christ with these things, that you'll find out by His mercy and grace how special you are. You know, there's, you know, little books that, I think it's Max Cato, is that how you pronounce it? You know, he puts out these little books and always trying to, you know, encourage people, you know, and young fellows and little young girls and things to, you know, that they're not worthless in this life, that God has a purpose for them and so forth. And, you know, kind of think of this little woman in that way. You know, it's, though she was in such a messy mess in her life, people wasn't seeing at that time what really was there. But our Lord Jesus did. You know, He knew she had representation of predestination. And so Him knowing this, He knew that when He was going to have His conversation with her, and He knew her life and begin to express that, you know, when He asked her about, where's your husband, you know, and she said, I have none. And then she goes on to, you know, just kind of try to leave that hidden, but the Lord Jesus said, you've had five, and the one you have now is not yours. And this sparked something in her heart, you know, was she knew something was there that very moment, because she knew that when the Messiah come, it's called the Christ, He should know all things. And that's what He did. That's what He expressed to her. He expressed to her to let her know that now's the time, you know. And I think of our little journey up here, you know, we was talking about this morning, which we'll go back into a little bit this evening. I'll try not to hold you too long, but, you know, and I was thinking about coming tonight, you know, the service, the fog is coming in and so forth. And I thought, you know, it's just like what I was talking about today. You know, you have to be real careful, make sure you turn in the right place. You know, is it the right road? And of course, some places may be foggier than others, and be a little harder yet to see. And it's like Paul and Heather going home tonight. They'll have to be very careful, very cautious. They won't be able to drive like they normally would, because they don't know if there's water on the road and hydroplane on it or something, you know, because maybe the fog will be too heavy to see. So they have to use a lot of caution. And they won't be able to travel as freely as maybe they would another time, you see. And that's the way it is with this life. You know, if God doesn't reveal His word to us and lift the fog, we have to be so very careful. And we ain't sure where to turn. We're not sure what's really laying ahead, especially if we don't know the road. And, you know, and I'm sure, saints, that if God doesn't open our eyes or lift the fog, then you're always going to be in doubt. You're not going to be sure. And you always have those opportunities where Satan can talk to your mind and say, ah, you ain't elect, you know, you don't have nothing, you know, what's the use? But, you know, if you just let the Holy Spirit reveal these things to you, you won't have to worry about it anymore. No. Would you like to have it that way? Oh, I wouldn't know any better way to have it than to know for sure exactly where you stand. But we'll continue on in this, and we'll just kind of reminisce and renew our minds back to this identification. What he said, the prophet said, page or paragraph 121, he said, the word found her, and talking about that little woman at the well, that word found her in, but when the word first flashed, she got it. You see, there's something about something on the inside of her that word flashed in front of her, and she caught it. Right now. She caught it. There was something laying there to catch that word that was coming. You see? She was one of those thoughts of God that was manifested. And, you know, I never really thought too much about that little woman until, you know, I read this quote, and I respected her a little more, you know. Because, as I said, we knew she had representation and predestination. The prophet spoke about it. But she never really thought about, at least I didn't, about being in the thoughts of her being in the thoughts of God and her being manifesting now in her journey of life, just like you and I. And our journey in our life, you know, as we start our journey again, as I said this morning, it was really messy. Every one of us was. And you say, yeah, but you didn't do what I did. I've heard that so many times over the years. You know, when we maybe be talking about the Lord, what the Lord's done for us, and maybe the other person would say, but you didn't do what I did. And or maybe this other one say, but you didn't do what I did. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I can read in that scripture, and even concerning this little one at the well, and prostitutes, and I can see what God done for them. And that was pretty messy, you know. It seemed like God had a way of picking out the real messy stuff and turning it into good stuff, you know. And that's the way he's done our life. And he had a purpose in it, though. And again, we know that we can cry back, grace, 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 on that day. And also renew our minds back to this. He said in three kinds of believers, he says, I pray, God, that you'll give us of your Holy Spirit to quicken the word, to give us the quickening power, that someday when life is over and you're finished with us, that we'll be quickened and ascend up into heaven where we was in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. So again, many times the prophet showed many things of showing this cycle of life that I'm speaking about this morning. And we'll see more of it as we go on this evening. And Kinsman Redeemer, finish up here before we go on something, another quote. Because they are from eternity and they've stepped out into space of time and will return back to eternity. Eternity has dropped down into a body called time. Then it goes right back up into eternity again, and it cannot perish. Isn't that wonderful to know? That you absolutely cannot perish. Do you understand that? That you cannot perish. You may say, well, I may not really have a desire to be doing this. I just can't seem to overcome this, and I don't really care if I overcome it. Well, you're not fitting into what the prophet said and what the word said, you see. Where you fit in is when there's something, there's a call in your heart, and there's something that draws you. And though even though you make a mistake, there's still something God places inside of you, especially when you see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He places that gift of love for him in your heart, that you'll love him, serve him, and obey him. So we're not talking about people that's lost anyway. People that's lost are not here to make this journey of life. Okay? They'll make a journey of life, but their journey of life will go like this. We'll just say they was born. And even as Pharaoh was, he was born for destruction. Yeah. Born, go through their life, and end up in hell fire. Pretty straightforward life. I should say downward life. You know? And one that's in that journey, that just straight down can cast out devils, can lay hands on the sick and be healed. Yeah. And still go to hell. Yeah. And that's the things that we need to make sure we understand. You know? We've brought these things, we've heard these things, we've talked about these things, but do we understand these things? You know, are they real in our life to where they're expressing? You know, Let me read this again in Scripture, and then we'll read another quote. I forgot about this one. Read two. Romans 8, we read this morning, Romans 8, 29, 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now remember, to be foreknow, remember that was to know beforehand. Okay? He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now remember, you was one of them ones that was invited in. You heard the invitation, and God put a desire in there to accept the invitation, but he called you. Okay? He called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Now remember, he decreed before the earth was ever formed that you'd be one of his righteous. Yeah. He decreed before the earth was ever formed that he would see you as though you never sinned in the first place. Oh. Yeah. Do you believe that? He decreed that before the earth was ever formed. When you was in the thoughts of God, he done decreed that. Okay? Though he knew what journey we would take, but he had that provision already taken care of. Everything was going to be fixed just right. And God always does, as the prophet said when he was talking about this predestination, so he said, God always does everything so perfect. And through his predestinated plan, it's all done perfect, you see. There's no flaws in it, okay? So we don't have to worry about, if you find yourself, you was here in the thoughts of God, you don't have to worry about there being any flaws in it, in that journey. You say, but, yeah, but I done this and I done that. Now you've got to take me right. I'm taking this with understanding. So what? God knew that when you were born, he would draw you. He knew he'd fill you with the Holy Ghost. He knew he would give you the right desire. And he knew you would receive the word for your day and you'd be an overcomer. He knew that. Okay? You think God all of a sudden just now is figuring this out and putting this all together? No, this was all done in his thoughts. It's not now just coming to pass, or coming into where God now has thought this all out, and now it's going to happen. No, this happened way before the earth was ever formed, before there was a star, a speck of stardust, before there was any botany life. God had this all planned, predetermined. Yes. Okay. So then he justified, or he says, and them who he called, them he also justified, and them who he justified, them he also glorified. Now, this is what the prophet said in Visible Union, Bride of Christ. Paragraph 269. This was November 25th, 1965. He said, you're standing completely now. He says, you never sinned at the first place. Are you going to believe this? Amen. Or is this a bunch of craziness to you? Huh? You never sinned at the first place. God don't even know it. What? He's saying this, not me. I'm reading what the prophet, which is God's mouthpiece, said. And he said he wouldn't do nothing unless he revealed his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And the prophet is telling us what was revealed to him. Okay? God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. Think of that. You never did it. How many times have you beat yourself and still beat yourself up over something you've done? When you know you've put it under the blood, you had a truly godly sorrow, repentance. You turned from that past sin. You were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now you're receiving your word for this day, and it is vindicating itself. How could you still hold on to something to where you think you did it in the past? That means it has not been revealed to you. If you're sitting around still beating yourself up over something you've done in the past, it hasn't been revealed to you. You're not accepting it. You don't believe it. See? God wants us to stand like this and know that we never did it. And know it's in the sea of His forgetfulness. He wants us to think like that. Not sit around beating ourselves up. No. Like so many still want to do is sit around and just keep beating herself up, beating herself up, beating herself up. God don't want you to do that. But Satan knows as long as you sit around and beat yourself up like that, you ain't never going in the rapture. No. You might think you will. And you might think when that rapture comes time that day and people start disappearing in front of you, all of a sudden you're going to get this spontaneous, all of a sudden you're fixed. All your troubles is gone and now you've got faith. No. It's got to happen now. So don't expect to get it all fixed when you feel this earth shaking and quaking and rocking and reeling. It's going to be too late then. Has that devil tried to deceive you into thinking that? That one day it's all going to be fixed just as long as I get fixed before the rapture? As I repeated to you this morning what that prophet said, what you are now is what you'll be then. If you're a doubter, which is what we're just going to talk about, if you're a doubter of God's word now, you'd be a doubter of God's word then. Don't worry, you won't be there. So now's the time to get all the doubt, the fog lifted away. So I know, without a doubt, and there's no beating myself up no more, what I did in the past. Yeah. If you know that you're meeting the requirements, that you is filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're receiving the word for your day, and it's vindicating itself. Yeah. Now, there's no reason to beat yourself up no more. If you let the Holy Spirit reveal His word to you, and you really are able to understand it. See? It's in a sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. Satan will always love to accuse you for it. And don't you realize oftentimes that's what's happening? Satan is accusing you, trying to use those things in the past. You're no good. You've done this. The other people didn't do this, but you've done this. You've done this like nobody else done. What about that little woman that had five husbands and the one she had then wasn't hers? What would we think about one of you sisters today that had five husbands and going to go marry another one? After the prophet done brought the message on marriage and divorce and everything, and you heard it, and you're responsible for it, and you kept doing it and kept doing it, now we'd have the right to think, maybe there's not seed there. Yeah. But you received the word, and maybe you made that mistake in the past. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you got caught up in something like that before. But now, He's put you in a position now. He filled you with His Holy Spirit. He's put that in the sea of forgiveness. Why do you have to keep beating yourself up over it? There's no reason for it. If you'll just trust what He says. Yeah. And you know, you still sit there and say, yeah, Brother Steve, you didn't do nothing like it. You didn't do nothing like this, and you didn't do nothing like I did. Yeah, but I might have done something else that you didn't do. Is God picking and choosing the worst things the other? No, it's all sin before Him. You see? All right. But really, He said from the beginning, let's back up, you were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. Oh my. You're standing there washed. And your old book of divorcement is put away and it's dead, absolutely out of existence, I like that. Now, you may not like that, but I like to know, and I love knowing that I'm free. And all that's taken care of, I don't have to let it beat me up no more. You see? He said, it's absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. He said, wait a minute, how could it be out of existence of God? He knows everything. For you, election, you predestinated, he puts it in the sea of his forgetfulness. Can you believe him? God is so great, he can forget. We can't do that. Not yet. But God is so great, he can forget. And I'm so glad he forgets all about our bad stuff. Oh my. So now I don't have to sit around and let it beat me up no more. Why should I when he don't even remember it? Now our accuser may come along and say, I'll remember. That's when you say, Satan, get behind me. I claim what the Lord Jesus Christ done for me on Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. You see? You're the virtuous bride of Christ. Can you all repeat that after me? I am the virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Come on, it's got to be better than that. I am the virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. And all my sins, repeat after me, and all my sins is in the sea of God's forgiveness. Washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous. See how you stand before him? Precious. You're his precious, virtuous bride. Oh, my. Sinless. Oh. And the sinless God, Son of God, and your sinless Son of God standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word that he washed by the water of his own blood, that become flesh and manifested, that he might take you, which were predestinated in the bosom of the Father, before the beginning, the same as he was that great attribute of God called love. Oh my, I'm so thankful. I'm a part of that, you see? And then he goes on to say in the church age book, I'll try to hurry up because again, I don't want to hold you too long. Paul and Heather's got to get on the road. All right, so we find here, Church Age Book, page 151. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all Abraham's seed, and Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all, then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it, for in the Galatians 3, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of promise, and promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are the royal seed are the elect of God and are the predestinated foreknown of God. Have you got an amen in you?
Amen.
Is he talking to you? He's a talking to me by his mercy and grace. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Predestinated foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed, until it each came forth in its designated, decreed season. Now, I'm going to use myself, you know, because I got to be who I am. I got to make sure I'm taken care of. My designated decreed season, October 13th, 1961, approximately 8 a.m., I think, wasn't it, Mother? I think that's what you told me before. I remember. All right, so October 13th, 1961, approximately 8 a.m. Screaming baby comes out, blue, because I had cord wrapped around my neck. I think it was me, wasn't it? I think it was me that had the cord wrapped around my neck, wasn't it? Yeah, the devil was trying to kill me before I got out. But we find here, that's when my designated decreed season started. Yeah, I was born from mother's womb. Now just think, as the prophet spoke, of how many people were put together to get me here. Great-great-granddad, this great-great-granddad, this great-great-great-grandmother, and all that just kept coming together. Yeah. And eventually come down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, here I is. You know, my designated decreed season. And before I was even born, and before you was ever born, your journey was already finished. Hallelujah. I'm just acting my part out now. Hallelujah. Not a thing I could change. No. There's not a thing I could do to make the desire disappear. There wasn't a thing I could do to make the desire come. It is all by amazing grace. By the predestinated plan of God. You see. That's you too. God knew your date you'd be born. Yes. He knew even. You say, well, how could he know all these things? I won't get to that part tonight, but I'll just kind of jump ahead a little bit. But in simplicity, he knew you'd be here tonight. I'll assure you, friends, if he knows how much tallow is in the gnat's eye, he knows you'd be here tonight. Yeah. He's that great. He's that mighty and that powerful that he knew all things. And we're so blessed to be his precious, virtuous bride in this day. It makes you want to really serve him when you understand this. It makes you want to be very, very careful to not mess up anymore. But I know if I do mess up, I know his blood is still there to cover me and to wash my sins away. And just think how many times from even this point after receiving the Holy Ghost, how many boo-boos you make before you're caught up. But he made sure he took care of that too. Not alone all this he done took care of when he had truly, true, godly sorrow, repentance, and was baptized, received the Holy Ghost, but you still made some boo-boos even after that by being an Adamic nature that you have. But he knew that he'd take care of all that too. And though we were born in sin and shaping iniquity, came in this world speaking lies and cheating and stealing, he still made a way that we'd be his perfect, virtuous little bride. Oh my. And that he would watch over us all through this journey. And he promised all the way through this journey, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because what's inside of you is a part of him. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right in there. Who do I pray to, Brother Branham? Pray to the one that's in you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, he won't. But to understand these things, friends, I won't hold you too long tonight, like I say. Let me finish reading this and we'll close. He says here, in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in his designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, the bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him and came from the same source. See? Was eternal with him and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, here we are coming to conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifested in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn. I'm taking my turn now. You're taking your turn too. Okay? Became the many members spoken word seed manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called, we did not become seed by the rebirth. No, we didn't become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Oh, I love that. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Just like the little woman at the well, in closing. If that little seed wouldn't have been laying in there, if she wouldn't have had representation of predestination, that would have meant nothing to her, what the Lord Jesus said to her. No. But the minute he said what he did, there was something quickened, the prophet said. Quickened to life. Something happened. She recognized something. Why? Why when you come to this message, there was something about it you recognized? There was something about it you just can't get away from it. Just cannot get away from it. It's your life. It's just something so glorious about it. Just so precious, you see. Won't you come to the instrument, please, Sister Amy? Let me read this one. One more. Is that okay? I ain't been quite a half hour yet, but just won't take long here. This is God rich in mercy. January 19, 1965. We'll skip down a little bit here, save a little time here. I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out, that we might get away from this fear and scare. Is there anybody sitting here tonight with a little bit of fear, a little bit of scare? You don't know who you are. Do you sit here not knowing really who you are? You're not going to be, he says, but now you are the sons of God. He says, you don't know who you are. You are not going to be, but now you are sons of God. See, you always were the sons of God. Can you believe it? For when God had you in his thinking at the beginning, you have to be some part of you. Your life that's in you now had to be with God before. Well, then before he even become material here on earth, before there was anything but God, you was one of his attributes. He knowed what your name would be. He knowed what my name would be. You see? He knowed what the color of your hair would be. He knowed all about you. The only thing happened is many of you, he says, can fellowship with me on this thought. You've heard this before. But I truly can fellowship with him on this thought. Many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, you would walk around there and there would be certain things that would just, where it wouldn't bother the other kids. Yeah. It seemed like there was something in you that cried out. Oh. There was God somewhere. Yet you were a sinner. But yet you just couldn't do some of the things the other kids did. Exactly what he was talking about. I experienced that. I couldn't explain it back then. I just knew there was something crying out in my heart. He says, do you remember that? Amen. Now, some may have different experiences. You may have had experiences later in life. But I've had this experience. I was a little boy. He said, now what was that? That was that little germ, that little form of life in you then. amazing grace. And then after a while, you heard the gospel. And maybe you went to church. Yeah, I was a little fellow. We went to Pentecostal church. And I appreciate my mother and dad taking me when I was a little boy to that Pentecostal church. I appreciate it. You picked out this and that and went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being a part of God, you had to be a part of the Word. And when you heard the Word, you know where you come from. Hallelujah. You know what was the truth. Mercy. If you had in you to know what is the truth, do you realize how blessed you are? To know what is the truth. You were always the seed. And always the seed was in you all. The Word seen the Word that was in you, that was before the foundation of the world, saw the Word, and you came to it. Thank you, Lord. Some of you may have had a strange journey getting here. Some of you may have had something happen in life that was maybe awful hard to go through. You may have had to meet somebody that you never met before. There may have been something happen in your life that maybe you lost a loved one. Yeah. Different things could have happened that brought you here and brought you in Christ. But regardless of how all of us was brought, we came. I know I was in the thoughts of God. Because this Word has let me identify with it. What it is, I am. Yeah, I'm not the best there is, by no means. And I've got things to overcome, the same as you do. But I still know I came from the thoughts of God. And I know that blood is there to cover me until I get back to eternity. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless. Strong. It shall forever remain the saints. So, oh, love of God. Saints, we're still in this journey. And the journey's winding down. And some of us, if the rapture doesn't take place, our journey's coming to an end sooner than some others, you know. When we lay down this old body, may we be as Paul said, O death, where is your sting? A sting's painful. But where is that sting? It's not there no more. No. O grave, where is your victory? It only releases us to that glorious, wonderful place that God has for us. It's so wonderful to know that you have eternal life. So wonderful. When the fog has been lifted and you can see plainly your journey that you're going through. and know that the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. Amazing grace. Simply amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Knowing this journey, had no mercy, no forgiveness of sins. The blood is only for the elect, the prophet said. See how special you are? Whew. You're very special. If you can see these things, you'll see many things. I thank God. His mercy and grace has let me see what I see so far. I just ask, Lord, show me more. Show me more. I need thee, O Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. I know one thing too. I'll be one of them that comes around and wipes tears from my eyes. To cry no more. Don't cry no more. It's all done. The way I feel right now, I could cry throughout eternity time. Wash his feet with the tears of my eyes. And dry them however I could. Because of what he's done for me. What that little woman must have felt. Now that little woman, friends, when she knelt down to wash Jesus' feet with the tears of her eyes and dry with the hairs of her head, she didn't have what you got. She didn't know what you know. Would we be willing to do that with what we know? I'd love to be able to do it. Yeah. I'd love to be able to kneel down to my Lord Jesus' feet and wash his feet with the tears of my eyes. My. Because of what he's done for me. And I hope he's done the same for you. And we will spend life eternal together. Amen. Do you love him? He's very precious. Amen. Anybody got a little song you want to sing? Amen. Amen. Let's try to sing that. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Come on up, Brother Timothy. Glad your mercy has followed me. Glad I found me and set me free. So I'm yours, Lord. So glad.
Isn't he wonderful? So precious. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day you've given us. And Lord, for the precious word in which we've been able to hear once more. And Lord, we pray that you'll take these things, Lord, and place them down into our hearts by revelation. Lord, that it'd be a true reality to us, Lord, and not just something we've heard again. But Lord, it would bring forth fruit, Lord, showing that it was revealed and placed into good ground. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that you're ever mindful of us, Lord, and we so appreciate you. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with those, as Heather and Paul, as they travel this evening, and keep them safe, Lord, watch over them. And Lord, just any that are sick or afflicted need a touch from you, Lord, just meet them. And Lord, we just continue to remember Brother and Sister Leffler and Brother Guy Singer. And Lord, I just want to remember Brother and Sister Philip here, Lord, Barbara and Philip. Lord, all the older ones. Lord, how we should uphold each other. Lord, how some of us fight battles others never know anything about. And Lord, how quick and easy it is to judge as being a young person and say, I don't know, understand that. Or maybe I'm an old person. But Lord, may we feel each other's burdens and carry each other's sorrows. And Lord, most of all, hold each other up in prayer, all of us together. But Lord, I know as we get older and the pains and the aches we have, Lord, and sometimes the going gets tough. But Lord, you're ever mindful of us. And Lord, you've got a purpose in every step we take. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to take it the direction you would have us take it, Lord, that through it all you would receive the glory and the praise from it. And Lord, we ask it all in your precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Aren't you so glad he found you? Amen. Oh my. I just got a little quote. Brother Branham said, you never sought God. He come looking for you. Amen. Oh, how great he is. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're all dismissed.